This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And down here at the Anglesey General Store this morning, it's a very good morning to the sound doctor. David Corbett is the man behind that, or one of the people behind that. In fact, he was the original person that created it, I understand. Now you've got all sorts of people that have got involved. How are you, David? Welcome.
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks, Mitchell.
Before we get into the sound doctor, any tips for the Melbourne Cup? Question without notice.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea who's running it, so I wouldn't have any tips.
Just pick a number between 1 and 24.
Let's try 7.
All right, I'll have to look up what horse that is. But if you're right, we'll definitely let you know about it.
Excellent.
Now, the sound doctor. I mean, what is your background, first of all? It's quite interesting because you were a musician and a dancer and all that sort of thing starting up.
Yeah, so I originally studied music and arts and worked in the performing arts as a musician and as a dancer for quite a few years. And that played in bands and stuff like that. And so I have a real passion for the arts. And then I ended up going back to university to study medicine. And I'm now a GP down here in Anglesey. I moved down here about 5 years ago. And I have a real interest in live music and the arts. And in terms of medicine as well, I have a real interest in how the arts creates a healthy society.
Yeah.
And how we all need music in our lives, and we all need other art forms in our lives as well. How important that is for healthy communities, healthy society, and just general well-being for people.
Prevention is better than cure.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for the community down here and how it comes together to support artists as well as do other things. Like, it's very sporty down here, of course, you know, being near the beach. But there's also a lot of support for the arts down here. And I suppose for me, we lived in Melbourne for a long time and such a thriving art scene there. And having to travel to Melbourne to see certain artists, like musicians that I really liked, started to wear me down a little bit. And I thought, well, why can't we get them to come here? And that sort of led to the Sound Doctor Presents, you know, forming, which is me. I approached some friends down here and said, hey, how about we try and set something up where we can bring some higher, higher caliber or better known artists down to Anglesey to perform in an intimate sort of setting. So the Anglesey Memorial Hall is a hall of my childhood. I spent all my summers here, and so I remember going to see movies and stuff there. And it's only 180 seats, so it's quite small. And so it gives artists a chance to have an intimate audience, you know, to have a really listening audience there, but also gives people in the area the chance to see some of those things they'd have to travel to Melbourne otherwise to see.
And quite often in these sorts of places, when you choose these unique venues, there's interesting acoustics, isn't there?
Yeah, well, look, the acoustics here are actually pretty good. We also, part of the way we do it is that we use very high-quality sound equipment and lighting, and, we've got some support through lots of communities, through Geelong, like Music Workshop help us out, because it is a community-based event. We get a bit of a discount from them. The Bendigo Bank help us out a little bit. The Op Shop here in Anglesey as well help us dress the space. So there's a lot of groups involved in helping the Sound Doctor put these shows on, which is also one of the ideas behind it too, is to provide an avenue for community to come together.
So when you first started it up, it was sort of a case of you had an idea to do it, and then what, everyone just jumped on board because they loved the idea so much?
Yeah, so there's a little core of us who sort of run it, and then volunteers come on board to help run the evenings as well. So it's not for profit, and it certainly, yeah, you know, it's taken a little bit to get it established, but now we're getting, for this recent one, we've got a gig on Saturday, which is our sort of fourth event. The first one was Lisa Hannigan, who was an Irish singer-songwriter who performed here in Anglesey to a packed house and then went and performed at the Sydney Opera House two nights later.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's the sort of calibre we're trying to attract down to Sarah and to make it. I think this is coming a lot in the music industry anyway, these boutique-type performances, where people, artists do want to be in that intimate setting with the audiences as well.
And Claire Bowditch is another one that you had done.
We had two fantastic nights with Claire and also Yirrimal, who lives in Geelong, or is about to leave, but he's been there for 5 or 6 years. The two of them playing together was incredible, and they actually sang together on the second night, which was a really bonus for those people who turned up for that night. And Claire, of course, is well known through her acting and, you know, songwriting and radio. Yeah, so she's pretty established.
Certain rival radio station.
Yeah, that's right, we won't mention them, no.
Do you ever have a hard time persuading these artists to come on down to the Surf Coast, or is it a project that they sort of understand and really want to get behind?
Look, I think more and more people are understanding it. You know, there's. It's interesting. The music industry, like all industries, has its pros and cons, and certainly, you know, the way the industry works with agents and presenters and stuff like that. Sometimes you have to negotiate through them to get to the artists, and often the artists are really keen. They really like the idea and they want to support it. And in fact, it goes back to that boutique idea again. Like Jen Kloer, who's an artist in Melbourne, musician. She's fantastic, and we're hoping to get her down here as well. She talks a lot about that idea that actually people building their own communities in the arts helps them then sell tickets. And so the idea that you can build up a network of your own so you don't have to rely on the big machine of the music industry. Yeah. And I love that. And I think most artists feel that way. And so if we communicate with the right people, they want to support it and they want to be here.
The whole industry is sort of really changing, of course, with things like streaming and more digital music now. But I suppose people are really valuing those sorts of experiences, as you've said, where you can get intimate with the artist, because that is something that will never be matched by digital music.
Absolutely. And the live experience of music is altogether different. And I think, again, in this setting, the artists get as much out of being in this setting as the audience do, in that they can feel connected and communicating with the audience directly. And also, they stick around after the gigs and they sign things, and, you know, it gives them a chance to really talk to people and engage with their audience.
And in terms of the funding, how does that work? Because obviously you need manpower, but I presume you also need some money to get these things up and going.
Yeah, so that obviously is always a sticking point with any arts project. So to establish it, you know, it did cost us a lot, and me personally, but it was something I felt like once we get established, it would then be self-sustaining. And we do have, again, the support of some great organisations around, like the Bendigo Community Bank and the Anglesey Op Shop here. We've applied to Creative Victoria for this next gig.
Well, I was going to say, I see their logo on your sign, so they've helped
and
with
so
some
they've,
grants.
They've supported for this one. And we'll probably, there's also Regional Arts Victoria, who are very involved in small regional town presentations work. And so we work with them as well. And that helps us with things like insurance to support the community as well. So all our volunteers are covered for even in case anything happens.
Yep.
But that's the big part of it. The volunteer work to make these shows happen is really key. You know, if we added up the hours and put a money figure on it, there's no way we could put these shows on without the support of the community.
And how much does it typically cost if someone wants to go along to one of these gigs?
So the ticket prices vary. So the ones for this weekend, they're $30, and we have two amazing artists coming. Leah Senior, who is, I think, is going on to do great things in the next few years. She's a beautiful folk artist, incredible, sublime vocals, sort of dark, ethereal folk, it gets called. And she's being supported by a local boy who's Jack Robbins. I shouldn't call him a boy, he's a man. Sorry, Jack, about that. but he grew up in Anglesey.
Yep.
And now he's released an album this year. They both released albums, and they're touring their albums around. It was great to be able to get Jack to come back to Anglesey as well. He's really excited about playing in his hometown and with Leah. So the tickets for this show are $30. You know, it's an all-seated show, and we have a bar that we operate as well. And again, that chance to meet the artists after the show in the bar is part of the community side to it.
Well, that $30 is a pretty reasonable price range when you talk about it being such a small and intimate gig. You know, when you usually pay $30, you're packed in and it's packed to the rafters, which is obviously a different atmosphere, but when it's small and intimate, there's obviously some real benefits with that.
Absolutely. So, and for the, obviously, international artists, it's a little bit more, so the ticket's $45.
Yep.
But we try and make it as minimal cost as we can to try and get, you know, to make it accessible for people as well.
How do you promote these gigs? Do you ever have trouble filling the halls and selling them off, or is it a case of they're snapped up really quickly?
No, again, I think the appetite here is quite high for this sort of thing, and so we've sold out every show so far, and we're likely to sell out Saturday night as well. So if people do want to come on Saturday, I'd recommend getting on to Try Booking or look up our website.
What is your website?
So it's the sounddoctor.info is the website.
Sounddoctor.info, all right.
But Facebook as well is the other way to get onto it. And, if you do want to come, I'd probably recommend trying to get tickets now, because it will sell out like the others have. And it's going to be a really special event.
And as the organizer, are you seeing that there's a lot of overlap when people go to one event, they get hooked and they come to all the subsequent events as well?
Yeah, so there is, but there's also, by doing the two nights with Claire, it was great because it gave more people the opportunity. And so, again, we're building our own little network there as well and our own community of mailing lists that when we send it out to people, they're very quick to respond because they know that the tickets will sell and they want to get involved.
So from here, where do you see the Sound Doctor going? I mean, you've run some successful gigs. Are you hoping to continue to grow, have the gigs more frequently?
Yeah, I think we'll probably only keep it... We're doing 4 to 5 gigs a year or events a year. And so they may change in that we maybe have different artists on different nights. So we might do a Friday and Saturday night with different artists each time. We're also looking at expanding things. Next year, we're planning on having a thing called Mission Songs Project come down and perform, and which is... going to be very exciting, who will offer a workshop in the community as well for choirs. And so there's things like that that we'll expand into. But we'll probably keep it at those four or five times a year, only because it is volunteer work, and to increase that level, you know, to regular gigs, it's probably a little bit beyond us at the moment.
How do you go for volunteers? Do you have enough people that want to help?
Yeah, we absolutely do. Again, I think that's one of the benefits of living in a smaller area, is that people, they want to get involved, they want to see their community thriving, and they want to support any project that's provides something for the community. So I think we're very lucky down here.
Excellent. Well, David, thank you very much for coming down. The best of luck with this gig that you have coming up.
Thank you.
I definitely encourage people to go and find out more at sounddoctor.info.
That's all right. Yep.
Excellent. Good on you. Thank you very much. David Corbett there from The Sound Doctor.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.